This is class number 51, and we also are having teleclasses. Sharon is on the phone from Tehachapi, California, and if you would like to take part in this out there, wherever you are, you can give me your phone number, and you can call us or whatever, and we will have a teleclass with you also. We're doing class number 51, and also I added something today that we haven't had before, and that is a clock up above the chart. So you can, if you go into a class and you want to listen to a certain part of that class over again, you can go run your video backwards till it comes to that place on the clock where that point was taking place. So I did that for you also. Now let's go back to Paul and Barnabas, and they are speaking in synagogues, and we're up in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. We're doing Acts from the Greek language, Greek reading and research from Acts, and we're learning about the Jews and the proselytes in this area, and Genesis 9 and verse 27 says that Japheth will dwell in the tents of Shem. In other words, they would take over the administration of the kingdom of God from the Jews, because the Jews would reject the word of God. And they are doing that right here where we are, right where we are in these verses. It is their last chance. Paul is saying this is your last chance, because the God of heaven has come to you, and there's going to be a great transition of the kingdom of God, the administration of the kingdom of God, from the Jews to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles would make up the churches, and the Gentiles would take the gospel to the churches all over the, or to the nations all over the world, and they would establish churches. Now, in verse number 45, we'll be reading from the Greek, the Nestle-Aldin text, actually. Edontes de hoi eudoi, tous oklos, eple theson zelu, kai anta legon, tois hippo paulon lelomenois, blasphemonotes. And the Jews, it says, moreover the Jews, having seen the crowd. Now this is an oklos. How big is the oklos, Sharon or Marilyn? Do you remember oklos?
5,000.
5,000 plus people. There's a whole lot of people coming here to hear Paul now. And remember, we had a problem with John Mark, didn't we? You remember what happened to John Mark? What happened to John Mark? He was a Jew, wasn't he? He was a disciple of Peter, and he wrote the Gospel of Mark. And he was with Paul and Barnabas, and he got out there, and they started rubbing elbows with all of these Gentiles. And John just could not stand it. John Mark couldn't stand it, so he went back to Jerusalem. And Paul held a grudge against him for a long time. Finally, he forgave him. But John Mark went back to Jerusalem where all the Jews were. He wanted to not be eating at a dirty table in a dirty house. And so now the Jews here are showing the same attitude to the gospel. They don't want it. Go back again to Genesis 9:27, that Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. In other words, the gospel is going to be transferred from the Jewish hands into Gentile hands in this administration that we're living in right now to this day. Remember what Pontius Pilate said to the Jews when he was trying Jesus? Five times he pronounced him innocent, and they kept calling for his crucifixion and his death. Pontius Pilate said, I find no fault in him. I have no fault. Let's whip him and then turn him loose. And so we whipped him, bitterly whipped him, And then he brought him in and said, Ecce homo, in Latin, behold the man. Behold the man. Is this enough? And they said, no, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. If you don't crucify him, you're no friend to Caesar's. So Pontius Pilate did something very physical, very visible to them. He brought a basin of water, and he washed his hands and dried them in front of him, and he said, I am innocent of this man's blood. Now, actually, what Pontius Pilate said, he knew the law of Moses. The law of Moses said, if you brought a man before you, if his accusers brought a man before a judge, and they found out that these were false charges, that whatever penalty that they were going to bring upon this man that was innocent was turned upon them. And Pontius Pilate basically said, you need to be crucified. You're guilty of this man's blood. And they said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And it has been. Now, these Jews right here that Paul and Barnabas are visiting with were not in Jerusalem probably at that time. They probably weren't there. But the gospel is proceeded to them, and Paul and Barnabas have preached the gospel to them, and now let's see what they do with the gospel. And the Jews, having seen the great crowd, they were filled with envy. Remember what they said about Jesus there in Jerusalem and Galilee? He said, this man has a great following. If we don't kill him, he will take away our nation and our preeminence and our jobs. Let's kill him. So they put out a warrant, a hit, a contract on Jesus. And they were filled with envy. And they were filled with this zealous envy. And they kept on contradicting the things put out by Paul, that Paul had spoken out. That word there is lalumenois there. Paul spoke out in human language so they could understand these mysteries of God. And they accused him of blasphemy. And they were blaspheming. They were spitting. They were nasty. They were spitting nasty words and blasphemy at Paul. Verse number 46 now. Paresia salmenoi, te ho Paulos, kai ho Barnabas, apon himen ein anag kainon, proton lalethenae, ton logon, tu theou epede apotheiste, auton kai uk oxios krinete, hiautos teis aionain zoes udeu strephometha eis ta ethne. And Paul, no matter what they said to him, they were blaspheming Paul now. Now he stands up, it says here, now this is very important. It comes from paresia, this word does. Paresia means freedom of speech. In other words, he's not afraid to say what he's got to do. I hope the 6th of January that our Republicans in the Senate and the representatives have enough guts to stand up with freedom of speech and protect the future of this nation. Paul, with freedom of speech, stood up here. He was a brave man. Paul was beaten. He was stoned. What was he stoned? 3 times? Now you stone somebody to death. Did Paul die in his ministry? 2 times he died in the ministry, didn't he? Paul died 2 times. Do you agree with me or not? Paul was stoned to death. He said, I knew a man, whether in the body, out of the body, was caught up into the third heaven, and he saw things that were unspeakable. Paul was nearly blinded. He was crippled. He had to have a doctor with him all the time. Luke followed him around, the physician. Followed him around, taking care of him. Paul was starving. He didn't have enough clothes, didn't have enough food. But still, with freedom of speech, with bravery, with brashness, with backbone, both Paul and Barnabas, they said to you, it kept on being necessary first to be spoken the word of God, the word of God or the gospel of God to you. It was necessary that you heard the word of God first. But since then, you have put away for yourselves it. And you are not worthy. You are not worthy. They were not worthy of the gospel. And you judge yourselves of eternal life. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Behold, we turn to the Gentiles. You had your last chance. You had your last chance. Paul said, this is your last chance. This is your last chance. Your religion won't do you any good from now on. Every time that a Jew offered a lamb or a goat or a bull or whatever, or a turtle dove, they were guilty of death, innocent death of those animals. Those animals typified Jesus Christ only to the cross of Calvary. After that, they were murdering the animals. Then in the Old Testament, during the period of time of the tabernacle, as you look over down here, I think, maybe you can see it on there, the tabernacle, during the time of the tabernacle, out there wandering in the wilderness, no person could kill a lamb, a goat, or a sheep, or whatever, outside of that tabernacle. If you killed an animal without the priest okaying it, you were guilty of murder. Now, all of these people now, from now on, would be guilty of murder when they killed an animal. Because the animal no longer took away their sins. The animal no longer typified Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had come. The writer of the book of Hebrews said, once you turn away from God, there is no more sacrifice for sins. Remember, the book of Hebrews says there is no more sacrifice for sins. Once you've gone the wrong way, once you have absolutely walked back into Judaism, there is no more forgiveness of sins. Will you crucify Christ again unto yourself after you offer these sacrifices? That's what they're doing. Every time the Catholic Church goes through the communion, through the Eucharist, they're crucifying Jesus Christ again. That's blasphemy. Every time that a Jew offers a sacrifice, it is blasphemy. Verse number 47. Houtos gar ante ta talte, hemen, ho kyrios, te theka, si eis phos ethnon, tu ene, si eis soterion, hios eskatu tes geis. Thus or in this manner, that little word houtos there, for thus or in this manner, he has commanded to us. The Lord has commanded to us. I have set you for a light, for a beacon. I've set you like a light on a hill to the nations. And you, for the purpose of salvation, until the end of the earth, until the extremity. Israel was supposed to be a light unto the nation. As Paul and Barnabas went out, they established little churches here and there, in Corinth, in Philippi, all of these different places. There in Caesarea, Every place they established little churches, and those churches were be a light unto all the world. And the Jews now sought to dwell in darkness. They sought to dwell in darkness because the light had come. Jesus said, I am the light. I am the truth. I am the water of life. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. God said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, the seed of the woman, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Jews loved the religion. Over here, on this wall, all the way from there, all the way down to the bottom there, are Jewish writings. The Hebrew Bible, the Mishnah, the Talmud, the Kabbalah, the Babylonian Talmud is there, many volumes of that. The history of the Jews. The history of Jesus, the Messiah. Alfred Edersheim wrote that story down there, that little book. The Jesus of the Bible. It's like 2,000 pages. How that Jesus fulfilled all of the types in the Old Testament about him, even his names. We talked about one of the Jehovah titles as being the Merciful One. Jehovah Elohim, our Creator, our All-Powerful One. Jehovah Adonai, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord shall provide. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is our banner. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord is our physician. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is our peace. Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Makadeshken, the Lord our sanctifier. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of Lords, the Lord of Hosts. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is present. Jehovah El Elyon, the God Most High. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Husanes, the Lord is my maker. Jehovah El Shaddai, the All Powerful and all-sufficient one. Jehovah Eloheinu, the Lord my God. These are all titles of the Messiah. El Elohi Israel, the God of Israel, Genesis 33 and verse 20. But now he was not the God of Israel any longer, was he? He's the God of the nations. El Elyon, the God of eternity. Emmanuel, God with us. Adonai HaAdonashim, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. You were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles, but you weren't. You were supposed to be a light to the Gentiles to the end of the world. And they will over here in the millennial reign, they will be the light until the end of the world. But God has got to beat them up real good in that great tribulation period that's coming upon us. Verse number 48. Akuontai de ta ethne ekairon kai edok sason ton logon tu kuryu kai epi strasion hosoi Eson, Teta Gag Minoi, Ace Zoain Ayono. And the Gentiles kept on rejoicing. The Gentiles kept on hearing, and the Gentiles kept on rejoicing. That's what it says here. The word hearing there is, it is accusative singular masculine, present participle active. They kept on hearing. And they kept on rejoicing. Third person plural, imperfect indicative active. Ekairon. They kept on hearing and they kept on rejoicing. And what did the Jews do? They wanted to kill them. And they kept on glorifying the word of God. The word of the Lord. And they believed. Now the word there, they believed, it's epi stiaoson. That is an aorist tense. That's punctiliar action. How many times do you get saved? How many times do you really believe?
One time.
One time. That's first aorist. That is absolute knife blade punctiliar action. And they believed once and for all. And as many of them as were having been disposed unto eternal life. Those that wanted to have eternal life, they believed. Those ones that were elected unto eternal life, they believed. They believed. Verse number 49 now. Dia ferreto, de ho logos tu curio, di holes tes kuros. And they kept on carrying through all the word of God through all of the country, all the villages that were theirs, holes, tes, koros, through all the entire country and villages. Through every village they preached. And the proselytes, those that believed and that had eternal life, went out there and told them, this is what Jesus did for me. This is not what a religion. That religion over there that we left to follow Jesus, they're still not believing. Verse number 50 now. Then we'll go back and read from the Amplified Bible. Hoi de Judeoi para parotrinon tes si benomenas gunekes tes yuga keromenas kai tus protus Tes polios kai epi geron diagmon epi ton paulon kai Barnabas, Barnabon that is, kai eki balon autos apo ton orion auto. Now, Paul said, this is your last chance now to eternal life, you Jews. This is your last chance. Paul was a Jew. He loved the Jewish people. He was a zealot. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was the highest. He really wanted to serve God. But when he found Jesus, he was a different person. His wife, his children would not have anything to do with him. He gave it all. I know there's a lot of you out there that have believed that we're Catholics and now your family won't have anything to do with you. Because you're now a reprobate to them. And Paul was a reprobate as far as the Jews were concerned. The ones Jews, they urged on, they tried to convince the holy women, the ones that were the worshiping women, is what it literally says, the ones that are constantly in a state of worship, the faithful women and the honorable women, and the first ones, the chief leaders of the city. In other words, the mayor, the justice of the peace, the marshals, the lawyers of the city, and they raised up persecution upon Paul. What did he do? He told them that you need to believe in Jesus Christ. You need to walk off and leave all these sacrifices and leave the things that led you to Christ, because Jesus has now come. He's here. And Barnabas. And they threw them out from the whole borders of their area. They ran them out. They ran them all. Verse number 51 now. Hoi de acti zomenoi ton conorton ton podion ep autos elton ace iconion. But the ones, Paul and Barnabas and anybody that was following after them, It says here, ektinazomenoi. Having shook off the dust of their feet upon them, they came unto Iconium. They came unto Iconium. Now we'll see what's going to happen there. Hoi te mathete, eple ronton, karos kai pneumatos hagion. And the one's disciples. What does the word mathete mean? Remember what that means? The one's disciples. Sharon, do you remember? Marilyn? Mathete?
That's good.
Okay. What is it?
That's
different. No. These are habitual learners.
Oh, habitual.
These are the people that were hearing and believing.
Okay.
And the one's disciples, habitual learners, they kept on being filled with joy.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit. They kept on being filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. And here the Jews were. All they were doing is spitting nails now. Spitting nails. They hated it. Now let's read here from verse 45 on. But when the Jews saw the crowds filled with envy and jealousy, they contradicted what was said by Paul and talked abusively, reviling and slandering and blaspheming them. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out plainly and boldly. This is your last chance. This is your last chance. Saying, it was necessary that God's message concerning salvation through Christ should be spoken to you first. But since you thrust it from you, they did not want the word of God. You pass this judgment upon your own selves, that you are unworthy of eternal life. And out of your own mouth you shall be judged. Let his blood be upon us and our children. And it was, and here it is again. Now behold, we turn to the Gentiles, the heathens. We turn to the dogs. You're not worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Verse number 47. For so the Lord has charged us, saying, I have set you to be a light for the Gentiles, the heathen, that you may bring eternal salvation to the uttermost parts of the earth. Isaiah 49 and verse 6. When the Gentiles heard this, they rejoiced and glorified and praised and gave thanks for the word of God, for as many as were destined and appointed to and believed in and accepted eternal life, believed, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on Jesus as the Christ and their Savior and Messiah and King. And so the word of the Lord concerning eternal salvation through Christ scattered and spread throughout the whole region, not by the Jews, but by the new converts and by the proselytes that wanted to hear. Many of the Gentiles heard. They were all pagans, you know, before. They were pagans. Now they're believers. But the Jews stirred up the devout women of high rank and outstanding men of the town and instigated persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they drove them out of their whole boundaries. And they judged themselves not worthy of eternal life. But the apostles shook off the dust from their feet against them and went on to Iconium. And the disciples were continually diffused throughout their souls with joy and the Holy Spirit. What a story. You have any questions about this now, this lesson? No questions, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. You had a question last time. We need to bring that up.
About the red heifer.
About the red heifer. Now let's try to answer. And Sharon, if you've got one, write that down or whatever, we'll be right with you. Now, Marilyn Ann wanted to know what the ashes of the red heifer actually did. Now, before they could ever set up the tabernacle, move the tabernacle, do anything, they had to take the ashes of the red heifer, mix it with running water, live water, is what they called it, and they dip a twig in there, like a brush, a hyssop, and they would sprinkle on everything and sanctify it and purify it and make it holy. Now that red heifer, the ashes of that red heifer are like the blood of Jesus Christ himself. Now before they can ever establish that tabernacle again, they have to have the ashes of the red heifer. And by the way, if you go to 2 Maccabees, the second chapter, if you've got a Catholic Bible or if you've got a Septuagint, it's in their Septuagint, all right, if you can read. If you can. I had to get a drink of water. If you can read Greek in the Septuagint, and it says, and it says that Jeremiah the prophet, having been warned of God, took the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, and the ashes of the red heifer, went over into what is now Jordan, Mount Pisgah, where Moses saw the Holy Land, the land of Canaan, before God put him to sleep. It's buried in that mountain in a cave. And Jeremiah said that place would not be found until his people be gathered together unto him. As far as I can understand, they won't find that Ark of the Covenant until Israel gets ready to flee down to Petra or wherever they're going, when the Antichrist is right after them. But they will have the real type, the antitype of the Ark of the Covenant, which is Jesus Christ. Now, excuse me for my coughing, an asthma attack. Sharon, do you have any question? Sharon, do you have a question? Nope, the phone went off. So I guess she doesn't because the phone went off. Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you for this message, this beautiful message from your word. Forgive us where we fail you. And help this message to glorify you.